to Jeremiah and chapter 10. Jeremiah and chapter 10. In our study of Jeremiah, we have proceeded along to where Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, have just turned their back on every attempt to stir them up to do the right thing, to take advantage of the knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not do so. And they were so tied up in idolatry that finally, as we did chapter 10 here, that God put it out on the table that idolatry is sheer brutish. That's in the verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. So, and all idolatry, which is the work of our own heart and mind, there is no religion that we didn't create. There is no philosophy that we didn't create. There is no idol that we didn't invent and make. There isn't any. The devil didn't do it. Demons don't do it. They just encourage us to do it. So we are the source of all religion and all idolatry and all idols and all ritual and everything. We're the source of it. And thus, we like it because we control. And since we create it, we can uncreate it. If it isn't our creation, then it isn't ours to destroy or to disturb. So we have to live with something else if somebody else does it. But if we do it, we have real freedom in exercising, keeping or rejecting or whatever we want to do. And we like that. So here's their idolatry. And in verse 14, as we read, every man is brutish. That has to do, as you'll see it in a minute, in his knowledge. And so now, moving down, if I can, in the light of that, and they have totally rejected the solution. And they're left with all their own thinking. And their own thinking can produce no more than their own thinking. It doesn't go anywhere. All our thoughts and all our plans and all our desires are no bigger and no more than we are. And they are all governed, thinking, desires, and thoughts, are all governed by 7 billion other people on planet Earth that want to do what they want to do. And so you want to do what you want to do, and they want to do what they want to do, and if there's a conflict and they're more than you, you lose. Now, so having said that little bit, so there's no good coming out of this, and Israel just isn't paying attention. So now when you come to verse 17, gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. And so here's the little verb, to gather up. It's a command. To gather up, to bundle up, as it were, to pack up, the Arabic, pack up thy gear, pack up your stuff, gather all your stuff together and pack it up. Gather up thy wares, and the word wares is the word bundle. To gather up, prepare for flight, prepare for exodus, snatch up everything you can, because now you're going to have to move. Just think, if you would, the building is on fire, and you're in the fire, and the house is on fire, etc., and you only have time not to think about all the different things. You're going to have to go and grab whatever you can as quick as you can and get out of there. And you might leave a lot of stuff, but you don't have any choice. Israel, what about Israel? Israel is to gather up, to pick up as quickly as they can what is around them and pick it up, O inhabitant, those who are dwellers, those who are abiding in the fortress. The word fortress is the word to seize, to besiege the city, of a city that is surrounded, a fortress. O you inhabitants, O you that are living and abiding in the fortress, in the city, it's all surrounded, it's a besieged city. Nebuchadnezzar is at the gates, as it were. And so now, gather up your wares and get out of there as quick as you can. The other place, another place where that is true, is in Matthew chapter 24, and the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist sets up his image in the temple, and everyone is told, as quick, don't even pick up your stuff. Just get out of this city fast as you can. Shoes, no shoes, go quickly. Now, so here, back in this day, in Jeremiah's day, gather up out thy wares, out that which you're bundled, the bundle, all of that which you picked up, prepare for flight as we shared together, snatching up everything you can, from the ground, pick up everything you can from the ground, and the inhabitants, the people that are there, the city is under siege. Nebuchadnezzar is right there, so you've got to get out of the city as fast as you can. Now, having said that, in verse 17, in verse 18, reason, for thus saith the Lord, why are you getting out of the city? Well, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. So we'll take that apart a little bit. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm going to sling out. Think of David and a slingshot. That's the word. To throw something, to cast it out, to sling it. And God said, I'm going to do it. I'm in process. It's a participle. I'm in the process of doing it. I'm going to sling them out and drive them out of the city. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling them out. I will sling out the inhabitants of the land, the people that are there, and at this once, or at this time, I'm going to do it right now. Now's the time. Nebuchadnezzar's there. And here's the first captivity. Nebuchadnezzar comes down 1, 2, 3 times. The third time levels the temple. This time he's just there, coming in, and keeping in mind, and it's anticipating what's going to happen. And thus in verse 18, at this time, and will distress them. The word distress means I will cause distress to drive them, to besiege them, to oppress them. I'm going to let a whole lot of things happen. And the very fact that Nebuchadnezzar is there, the very fact that you have no resource, the very fact that panic is set in everywhere, and in the process, therefore, I am going to let that happen. I'm going to let that happen. And verse 18, and let it happen at once, and we'll distress them. I'm going to let it happen. And that, the reason I'm going to let it happen, that they may find it so, that they may find it out. Now, the word to find, they may find it out, is the word to find, in order that, little preposition, in order that, to the intent that, on account of, you're going to find. I'm going to have them find something. The word finding something, is to make something visible, to make something you can see, touch, taste, to make it appear. It's something that's invisible, you don't see it, and God says something, but you don't see it, you don't feel it. Oh, well, it must not exist. God said, now, I'm going to let it exist. I'm going to let you feel this. I'm going to let you live this. You're going to feel this personally. You don't think you're there? It is there. I told you what was going to happen. Therefore, I'm going to let them find it out. I'm going to let it become visible. I'm going to let you learn it, see it, understand it. I'm going to let all of that happen now. That's what I'm going to do. And in the light of that, Jeremiah, speaking as a city, looking at it from a city standpoint, Jerusalem, Jerusalem personified, Jeremiah looking at the people, looking at the city, and thus he is reacting to this. He is reacting. Now, it was one thing over the years, the enemy would come in, the enemy would attack, there would be a contest, a battle, a winning and a losing, and you would go on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, the next thing. We had the Revolutionary War, and we had the Civil War, and we had the First World War, and we had the Second World War, and we're still here. This time, Jeremiah, what's going to happen? You are going to be kicked out of the land. You're going to lose all. Before, you stood there, it all had battle, and you found yourself all right. This time, you guys are going to go. You've never had this happen. You're all going to be exited. I'm going to sling you out, throw you out of the city. I'm going to drive you out of the city. You are not going to be in the city anymore. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, it's going to become very clear to you. You can't say, the enemy will be defeated somehow and we'll still have our home and our job and our everything. No, that isn't true. It's not going to be there. The bank's not going to be there. The house is not going to be there. The people are not going to be there. The store's not going to be there. It's all gone. All gone. You've been removed. Been removed. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so they're going to go. Now, what have they failed to understand? What have they failed to pay attention to in the light of the fact that they are going to find something out, experience it in a very real way? And they need to do it. You don't believe that it will hurt? Then God will let it happen and you will hurt. I told you it would hurt, but you don't believe it. All right, I'm going to let it happen, and you'll feel the hurt. I want you to feel it, because you don't believe it. If you believed it, I would help you, but you don't believe it. So I'm going to let you go through it. That's how you learn, the College of Hard Knocks. Now, in the light of that word, to find something, over, if you would, please, to Jeremiah and chapter 5 for a moment. In Jeremiah in chapter 5, and you remember, as we did that, perhaps, remember the Lord in all of the progress as we've been dealing with Israel, and in this part of it, remember back then, chapter 5, verse 1, God tells Jeremiah, God tells the people, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof. In other words, look at every highway, every corner, every marketplace thereof. If, what are you doing? See if you can find a man, if there be any, that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Now that excludes Jeremiah and the remnant, remember, because the remnant is kicked out. The body of national Israel, Jerusalem, rejects their believing Jeremiah, believing Ezekiel, believing. They reject them, the same as our country is rejecting believers. Believers say, so they're going to reject you. They don't count you. They don't want to count you as part of their country. That's what they don't want to do. You don't go along with us. So God, what are you saying? You're saying, I'm looking. If I leave the believers over here, Jeremiah, now find me somebody out there that is seeking righteousness and judgment. And there isn't anybody. That's the whole point. God said, see, there isn't any. You want me to wait, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, or Lot? If you just wait, if I could find 10 righteous persons, and I can't find 10. In fact, Noah, in fact, Lot, you're the only one going to go out. You're righteous. Remember Lot, you'd never believe it. He's righteous. His wife isn't. His children aren't. But Lot is. If I could find 10 righteous people, I would save Sodom. But there aren't 10. There aren't 10. In Jeremiah's day, there's no one righteous. What do you want me to do? There's no way to find any help. Hope. Chapter 5. Now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, over to chapter 6. And you'll remember, as we did this, in chapter 6 and in verse 16. Again, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Go down the right road for the right reasons, and you'll have the right results. And, verse 16, you shall find, F-I-N-D, there's your word, you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, I set watchmen over you, saying, hark to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So as you keep going, God says, would you? No, we aren't. No, we aren't. No, we aren't. We won't do that. So God, what do you say? It's too late now. I'm going to sling you out of the city. No more talking to you. I'm all done. Out of the city you go. Nebuchadnezzar's coming in. Now, having said that little bit on the positive end of it, you would remember, and without turning there, in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 8, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Noah did. There's your little word. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Israel, are you finding God? Nope. And God said, since you won't find me, I'm going to let you find out the consequences of your idolatry. And you're going to pay for it, and that's the only way you're going to learn. And remember, we shared together because of the wonderful learning experience in 70 years in Babylon. Israel never went back to idolatry. They don't believe, but they didn't go into idolatry. So now, in the light of that, Deuteronomy chapter 4. What else should they know about this business with God? God, you should have found God, but you didn't. And now you're going to find the trouble because you didn't. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, as you would recall, in chapter 4, verse 28. Now there shall ye serve gods in the captivity, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. In other words, your idolatry is going to drive you into the land. This is way back before they crossed the Jordan. God told them what's going to happen, but no one, who listens? Verse 29. But if thou from hence, when you are in captivity, when I sling you out of the land, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, there's your word, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon you, when you're finding out what you have to experience in the college of hard knocks, when you're finding out all these things that come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou return to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. So they were told. God told them what was going to happen, but they don't believe. And they're going to find it out for themselves because they didn't believe it. And then God's going to go and said, when you're out there and you wake up, if you look to me, you're going to find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, over, if you would please, one other place maybe, over in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. And you know, chapter 8. And in Proverbs chapter 8, all about the Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the knowledge of God. He is the treasure that we have in our heart. And God in Christ brings us all his wisdom. Wow. Not in us, but in his Son. Now, chapter 8, picking up in verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth. Chapter 8 and verse 9. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So when we're going to go and look to God and we're looking, and think of, we shared it together in chapter 1 of Proverbs, think of going down your daily walk, home, work, school. You have a companion with you called wisdom. And you never want to go anywhere without him. You want to make sure wisdom is always with you. He's a great companion. He keeps you. Now, with the light, that's all it's all about. Now, when you come to chapter 8 and verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. In other words, you're busy, you want to get God, I'm looking for your guidance, your direction, your governorship of my little life in work, home, school, play. Verse 35. For whoso findeth, there's your word, whoso findeth me findeth life, used twice, and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Now, Israel, are you going to find the Lord? No, but you're going to find trouble because you won't find him. Verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. They don't want life. They don't want anything to do with life. Over in Psalm 46, you aren't far away, they get tied together. God, why wouldn't they look to you and find you? Because they don't want to. Psalm 46, and in verse 1. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present. He is the word, it's the word find. He is the much found help. When you seek him, you will find him. He is an ever found one to be found. He's the present finding, very much to be found in trouble. You want to find God? You're in trouble, Israel. Are you going to look to God? Nope, not going to look to God. Therefore, you're going to have to go and experience in the College of Hard Knocks. Back over to Jeremiah and chapter 10. Jeremiah and chapter 10. So Jeremiah, how are you going to respond? This is something that's never happened to Israel. The 10 tribes in the north, it happened with the Assyrians, but Jerusalem, the city, the temple, how could it happen here? And it happens. It's going to happen. Jeremiah, it's all over. No more, using our way, no more the America that you knew. All gone. Wow. Jeremiah, it's all gone. Woe, verse 19, woe is me. Woe is me for my hurt. I am hurt. And the word hurt means to break in pieces, to break the heart, to break into fragments. My heart is broken. My wound is grievous, the state, the chastening. God, what I'm having to see and talk to, and I tried everything, they don't listen, and God, I'm going to see the results, and He is, the results of Nebuchadnezzar, and woe is my heart, I am breaking in pieces, I am grieved, grieved, become weak, powerless, I feel pain, I am powerless, I feel weak, weak, God, I'm all emaciated, I'm done, God, what can I do? But I said, no, what'd you say, Jeremiah? I was broken about it. To lose everything we did. Now you say the people don't care. But what happens if you had the signers of the Declaration of Independence go to Washington next week and get given an update on where the country is? Would they be happy? They would be heartbroken, just like Jeremiah. They wouldn't believe it could have happened. They wouldn't believe it could have happened, but it did. Now, and thus, woe is me for my hurt, broken heart. Woe, my wound is grievous. I'm shaken to and fro, is the verb, to feel powerless. But I said, truly, this grief, this is a grief. There's your word, the noun, the grieving. This is a grief, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. I must lift up and carry it. I can't walk away from it. It's a burden. I have to endure it. How about turning away from the problem? No. How about going over someplace else and making believe it never happened? Or how about being, I don't care. I don't care, so what? But you can't do that when you understand the consequences. You can't do that. Using it in another way that may help you. You know, I don't care. So what? But when it all goes, how it's going to go and to what extent, God knows, I don't, how it's going to go in the days ahead. But what happens if it was like in Saudi Arabia, where there's no church? What happens if it's like in Malaysia, other parts of the world, where your head's cut off, you can't say anything, you can't do anything, and all the effects are all gone? Wow. You feel it. Now, to really do it, just think now. Well, I don't care. And so and so. And then you die. D-I-E. You die. What do you think's on the other side? When you die. You say, I don't care. Will you not care when you die? Aren't you? You're going to care. You're going to be awake forever, for real. You're going to care, you say. Well, I don't care, so what? Whoops, wait till it happens. Then we'll see if you don't care. God, what do you let happening? I'm letting it happening to Israel. Jeremiah, I'm feeling it. It is. I can't run away from it. I have to live through it. We have to live through what's happening in our country, in the countries of the world, globally, and ISIS and all of that. We have to live through it. We can't walk away from it. You can't turn it off and hope it'll go away. It isn't going away. And depending on where you're coming from and how much you understand yesterday, then you are going to be sad, you know. If you don't remember when cars were cheaper and bread was cheaper and milk was cheaper, if you don't remember that, Then so what? I paid $20 for a slice of bread. I'm upping it a bit. Whole wheat bread, 7 grain. So what? Because that's all I know. But if you knew when bread was such and such 25 cents or something, oh boy, you see it, say, wow, 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 wow. Remember in Hitler's day, one of the problems, that's why Hitler got so powerful quickly, is because, as it were, the illustration, in order to go to the grocery store, you had to take your wheelbarrow full of money, not your pocket. You had to bring a wheelbarrow, as it were, mentally, literally. You had to bring a wheelbarrow to go to the market to get your groceries, you know. You used to use a $100 bill every 10 years. Now you use a $100 bill for gas. Wow. Wow. Now, so God, here we are. And Jeremiah is bearing it. You can't get away. You have to live in it. Okay, so living in it. Now what? Let's look at it some more in the light of that. And in picking up in verse 20, my tabernacle or my tent is spoiled. My tent is spoiled. And the word spoil means it has been destroyed, violently destroyed, to laid waste, my tent. Looking at the city of Jerusalem, as it's going to be, my tent, my city, is spoiled, it is leveled, it is laid waste, ultimately. And all my cords, all the cords that hold up the tent, are broken. Verse 20, my children are gone forth from me. There's no one left in the city to rebuild the city. There's no one here anymore. No one cares anymore. We don't have nothing. We have nothing. And they are not. They aren't here. God, Nebuchadnezzar, takes them away. And there is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, to replace the tent, to fix the city, not until Ezra and Nehemiah, and set up my curtains all around the tent. There's no one. It's all over. The tent's gone. Everyone's here that could put it together are all gone. They are no more. No more. And in chapter 4 of Jeremiah, you'll see it again. Earlier, in chapter 4, please, verse 19, you'll pick up the same back then. You say, I don't want to feel this. But sometime you do have to feel it. How are you going to sympathize? How are you going to empathize if you don't feel it, you know? And you have to have victory in it so that you don't stay down and depressed. You want to be able to hear the news, see the news, watch the news, and do all of that. But you don't want to get down where you're depressed by it. You've got to see it. It's real, and it's awful. Awful what happens. Wow. Now, chapter 4, verse 19, Jeremiah. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, what is that? The sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Pretty soon I won't hear it anymore. The enemy will have done the job and taken over. Now, back over to chapter 10. In chapter 10, picking up, please, in the light of that. Now, here, reason, for the pastors, the word pastor is the word shepherd, for the shepherds, the pastors, what have they become? Brutish. Remember verse 8, brutish and foolish. Verse 14, brutish. Verse 21, brutish. What have they become? Brutish. Remember the word brutish. Brutish means it has to do with burning up, consuming. Animals eat grass and consume it. They eat food and consume it, and you can't find it anymore. It's all gone, all gone. Animals feed. They're brutish, brutes. They have no knowledge. They have no knowledge and no regard for good or evil. They just eat, that's all. They're brutish, brutish people. The shepherds are brutish, like brutes. They don't have no, they aren't connected to anything. They're disconnected. The leadership is disconnected from their assignment. Our country, our world, and all the different powers, Putin over there and North Korea, and you go around like that, and they're all over the place. Wow. Ayatollah, they're all out there. That's right. They're all, but they're disconnected. They have no connection of what's happening and where they're going to end up. They don't have that. For the pastors, shepherds are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord, to seek the Lord. And the word seek, interesting, to tread, to grind to a very fine powder, to grind something to a very fine powder, and then to pulverize it even more. Grind something to a fine powder, and then seek to pulverize it even more. Wow. Now, that's the word seek. It means to penetrate. It means to be involved. Not a casual old hum. It means you're seeking. It means you're involved. You're going to powder and then pulverize. You're really into this thing. That's right. For the pastors have become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They haven't sought the Lord. The leadership isn't looking to God, isn't trusting God. And therefore, we are in trouble because the leaders are telling us it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. They give us the message of peace when there is no peace. They tell us everything's going to be okay, and it isn't okay. So we're $20 million trillion in debt. So what? Who's ever going to pay it off? Where are you going to find literally $20 trillion? Where are you going to get any of it? So what? As it keeps going. Wow. So now, having that little bit, and while you say that, go with me, please, over out to chapter 23 for a moment. Jeremiah chapter 23, picking up the thought. In chapter 23, and going, if I can, verse 1, just tying it together. Woe be unto the pastors, shepherds, that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors, shepherds, that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of the flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Well, I'm going to make it happen. And back over to chapter 10 and in verse 21. I'm going to make it happen. They aren't seeking me. They have no thought about me whatsoever. They aren't doing that. They just aren't seeking me. And they shall not prosper, for all their flocks shall be scattered. In other words, nothing's going to stay together. Everything's going to get unglued, separated, fall apart. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and remember you read that in Deuteronomy 4:29, if you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. Back in chapter 4, verse 29. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in your Bible to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Second Chronicles, if I can. Chapter 12. Second Chronicles and chapter 12. Now, remember now, the leadership isn't leading. They're not where they should be at all. So now, here's 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and we're looking, the leadership, all right? When the kingdom divided under after Solomon died and all that, and Rehoboam took the kingdom in the south, when he did that, and you'll remember now, he got in real trouble because he didn't honor the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 13. And he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Rehoboam, you should have got down on your knees when your father died and looked at what everyone, don't listen to all the young people, which is what he did. But don't do that. And he did it. He did it. He didn't seek God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, are you guys going to seek God? Nope. That's why the city's going and you're driven out as a slingshot, as it were. Now, chapter 14. In chapter 14, picking up if I can in verse 2. And Asa did that which is right, which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he broke down the images and cut down the groves, get rid of all the idolatry, commanded Judah, back then, to seek. What did Judah need to do? To seek, there's your word, the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Verse 5. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities, and Judah for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. So verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because, why can we even bother doing this? Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, there's the word twice. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Well, on the one hand, Rehoboam, he didn't honor God at all. We have Asa, and he did honor God. He did seek to honor God. Chapter 15, Asa still. Chapter 15, verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah, Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, there he is, what happened? You're going to be found. He will be found of you. Did you find Israel a God? No. So God, you're going to have us find the trouble because we didn't find you. And he will find out of you because, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And sliding down for time's sake. And in verse 7, and be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, and your work shall be rewarded. And Asa heard these words and prophecy of Obed the prophet. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, etc. Now, over if you would, in chapter 15, in verse 12. Now, what did they do? And they entered into a covenant to seek, there's your verb, the Lord God of their fathers, with all their heart, with all their soul. That's what God said. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with a shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with all their desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. There's a positive. Wow. Asa, you did good. That's right. He did it good. He did it right. Wow. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Jeremiah and chapter 29. Jeremiah and chapter 29. And you will note, chapter 29, as you're familiar with it, chapter 29, may I pick up, please, the movement, remember the captivity, 70 years, verse 10, 29, 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I tried to tell you to think right, but you guys didn't want to do it. You didn't want to hear, you didn't want to understand, you didn't want to do it. You're reaping what you sowed. And not evil, to give you, the end of verse 11, an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, then, and ye shall go and pray unto me in that day, and I will hearken unto you. And why is that? And ye shall seek me, there's your verb, and find me, there's your verb, and ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And, verse 14, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. You're going to find, I'm going to be there, I'm waiting for you. Just like in Psalm 46, 1. I am a present, I am an ever found, much help. You're going to find me. I'm waiting to be found. Now, having said that a little bit, over if I may, Psalm 119. And you will note, lovely, lovely Hebrew alphabet, you know, and eight verses each thing, and wonderful psalm. Now, all about a believer exercising his relationship, her relationship to God. Now, so I'm just going to pick up Aleph, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, for who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. So is if I give you that kind of control, that kind of commitment, that kind of submission, that kind of surrender, am I going to be cursed? No, not at all. And sliding down, verse 7, I will praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So if I'm going to give God credit, and we need to. Therefore, Beth, verse 9, wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought, there's your word, to seek. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments, God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God, I don't want to lose out. I don't want to miss out. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So God, I want to honor your word. Israel, are you going to, Judah, Jerusalem, you're not going to honor it. No, we aren't going to honor it. In fact, in closing, we'll go back there. Well, go back there in closing. Jeremiah chapter 10. What's going to happen? Well, I gave you all kinds of help. And we're living in a day when the Bible, God's Word, is less and less In the churches, it is less and less. In public, it is less and less. It just isn't there. Religion, somewhat, but not even that too much. You don't hear a lot about Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and all of that. Not much. Why? All of that is cool. Cool. Isn't an issue. What we need is the smartphone materialism. We aren't caught up in religion anymore. We need a social, political, economic solution for our life. That's what we're looking for. We are looking for that. So very rare. All the cults, apart from Islam, apart from them, you know, they're very aggressive. But apart from that, so now Jeremiah chapter 10 in closing, verse 22. God, what are you telling him? Well, behold, the noise of the brute, the word brute means rumor, a hearsay, something's happening. You hear the scuttlebutt out there, something's happening. Behold, the noise of the brute is come, a great commotion out of the north country, that's Babylon, to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons or jackals. The cities are going to be stripped of the people and the wild animals will live there. It's coming. You say it isn't. It is coming. It is. It is. So what? Well, God, I'm not going to stop it. I want to endure. I have to bear it. I don't want to hide from it. And I don't want to walk around being hoodwinked. Well, it isn't happening, because it is. I don't want to walk around and say, well, maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it won't be. Maybe. There's no maybe about it. It's going to be. It's the way it is. And everything economically, politically, war-wise, power-wise, countries, North Korea, all of them, they aren't going to walk away. They aren't going to disappear. They're all, boom, moving themselves. They're aggressive. We're passive. And they're going to go. It ain't going to go away. Well, God, I wish it would go away. I wish the news wouldn't have less murders and shootings and everything. And that's minor. Minor. Think of the thousands of people that are killed out of our country. Christians and all of them. Thousands. We have two or three people and say, wow, hold it. Stand back. Two or three are nothing compared to what's happening. Wow. And we need to see that. We don't need to get all upset about something in a bad way. God, we need to see it and know that you've given us grace. And that's why we know you as our Savior. That's why we're trusting you. We aren't trusting you to fix anything. We're trusting you to keep our heart right in a world that is very troubled and troubling. And I don't want to be troubled by the troubling world. I don't want to make trouble in the troubling world. I want to be able to be at peace and have poise, a properness, a stability, a saneness, a sane, sober, serious, joyous understanding of what's happening and why. And therefore, I bear it. I don't run from it. It's part of my world. Can't go away. It's not going away. No, sir. No. But we have what they didn't do, we want to learn from. Because, God, what did you do? You told them that if they don't, they're going to learn in the College of Hard Knocks. That's what we need to have happen in our country. Some disastrous thing. We need 9/11 in about 10 places at once. And that might wake us up for a couple of days. But that isn't going to happen that way. If I was a bad guy, I wouldn't do that anyway. I already got everything in favor. My country's already going where it's going. I make believe I was a bad guy. I'm not going to do a thing. Why should I stop what is successful? Gender and everything else. It's successful. Why would you bother disrupting it? Why not just keep it going? Keep it going. Wow. That's what I'd do if I was an ISIS guy. They never asked me, you know. Wow. It's a wonderful thing, God. Jeremiah, you're helping me. Mm-hmm. I am. So don't run away. You have to go through it. It's going to be awful. But hey, be of good cheer. I'm going to take you at any moment to be with me. And when tribulation is there, but you can be sure I have rescued you absolutely from the wrath that is to come. I have rescued you for that. You are not going to know that. You're going to know a lot, but you're never going to know that. Wow. It's a wonderful thing. I hope you got a little bit, you know. Wish I could give you a little book, some book in the Bible that would say, it's a wonderful lollipop day, and you're going to have another ice cream and everything. But I don't know too many books like that. Anyway, so you may have a particular request as we go to prayer. We're a little bit over. That's my fault. But I hope you're admonished, encouraged. Don't back away. Roll up your sleeves and go with it. That's what I do. And you'll do fine. Wow. So, remember the Bible? Yes, Joe.